From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, April 9th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
An amendment to the Maine Constitution that would enshrine a woman's right to an abortion advanced in the Maine House today, but as Steve Missler reports, the margin was well short of the two-thirds that will eventually be needed to send it to voters for final approval.
The vote broke squarely along party lines, with Republicans opposed and all but one Democrat in favor. During the debate, Republicans called the proposal an affront to those who have moral or religious objections to abortion. Democrats, like Representative Matt Moonen of Portland, argued that the amendment was needed after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade 2 years ago. And Moonen challenged Republicans to test their anti-abortion rhetoric with Maine voters.
And if folks are so confident that they know what the majority of Mainers think, why don't we find out? Let's put it on the ballot and let the people of Maine decide.
76 Democrats supported doing just that, while 67 Republicans opposed it. And like last week's vote in the Senate, it was short of the two-thirds support that will later be needed to enact a proposal and send it to voters. The bill is part of a movement to embed abortion rights into state constitutions over the last several years. So far, four states, including Vermont, have adopted such amendments, while nearly a dozen more could be on the ballot this fall. For Maine to join those states, a significant number of Republican lawmakers will have to change their mind on the pending measure. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine's five low-barrier homeless shelters would receive $7.5 million in funding from the state over the next 3 years as part of the governor's proposed supplemental budget. That amounts to about $500,000 per shelter per year. But Mark Swan, executive director of Preble Street Shelter in Portland, says shelters have been running major deficits in recent years.
We have to raise between $4 and $5 million every single year to do our work, to feed people and shelter people. So that is a huge challenge. In some years, we fall short of the mark. In other years, we meet our goals, but it's harder and harder to sustain.
Swan says private philanthropy fills some of the gaps, but it's never enough, and the need is greater every year. He says Preble Street has petitioned the Maine Recovery Council for opioid settlement funds to help make up the shortfall. Maine dairy farmers say they desperately need additional state support to help them stay afloat. And as Kevin Miller reports, farmers rallied Tuesday at the Statehouse to pressure lawmakers ahead of key votes on the budget.
For the past 20 years, Maine has offered a financial safety net to dairy farmers for whenever the price of milk falls below the cost of producing it. But a recent study by the Maine Milk Commission estimated that because of inflation, those payments would need to increase by about $6.50 for every 100 pounds of milk for farmers to break even. Maine had roughly 250 dairy farms about a decade ago. But Annie Watson, a Whitefield dairy farmer who was also president of the Maine Dairy Industry Association, says that number is down to just 146.
Collectively, we must invest in this industry before it is too late. Supporting the Dairy Stabilization Tier program and increasing the tier levels in a meaningful way is worth the investment. These farms, this land, our food security is worth protecting.
The dairy farmers are urging state lawmakers to go along with Governor Janet Mills' recent proposal to increase those payments by 25% this year. But in a late-night vote last week, Democrats on the legislature's budget writing committee recommended limiting that increase to only 10%, coupled with one-time payments to farms. But Watson and other farmers say the governor's proposal offers better long-term support to the industry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine House today narrowly voted to advance a measure that would establish a state minimum wage for agricultural workers. The 72-70 vote fell largely along party lines, with most Democrats in support and Republicans generally opposed. If approved, The bill would require employers to pay farm workers the state minimum wage, currently $14.15 per hour, beginning next year. The bill received broad support from farm worker advocates and agricultural industry groups during a public hearing last month. The legislation builds on the work of a committee convened by Governor Janet Mills last year. It now heads to the state Senate. Businesses in the eclipse's path of totality Monday reaped the financial benefits of tens of thousands of visitors who rented lodging, ate in restaurants, and took part in eclipse celebrations. Matt Polstein is president of New England Outdoor Center on Moosehead Lake. He says about 600 people came to the adventure resort and paid up to $250 for a day pass for an exclusive eclipse experience.
We rely on snow for our winter business, and we lost pretty much all of the March business we would have had. And the eclipse, while not completely making up for all of March, made up for a good part of what we missed in March. It was close to $250,000 for our business.
Polstein says because the eclipse traveled along Maine's forested fringe, it boosted the economies of rural areas of the state that badly needed it. The Maine Department of Transportation says traffic on some state highways on Monday was 10 to 20 times higher than normal. Estimates are that 15,000 additional vehicles came into Maine to witness the solar eclipse. Of course, many more people traveled within the state to access the eclipse's path of totality. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, your total eclipse experiences. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.